Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha. Good Sunday morning and happy New Year's Eve day. Welcome to Island Issues. We are on the radio on Hawaii Island every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. And then we post these interviews as podcasts at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Just click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. Today we continue to discuss rat lungworm disease, that incredibly deadly and horrifying disease that is epicentered on Hawaii Island. Today, we will complete our current update with Dr. Susan Jarvie of UH Hilo College of Pharmacy and with Dr. John Martell of Hilo Medical Center, and then share a conversation with Keith Kawaoka of State Department of Health about their plans to spend the $1 million that they've been allocated by the state legislature to combat the disease. Don't forget, you may hear previous interviews on this topic at our podcast, and we'll have a final interview with the members. I won't say final because I think sadly rat lungworm is one of the things we're going to continue to talk about, but we'll have our final segment in this series with members of the State Rat Lungworm Task Force who are with the John A. Burns School of Medicine on Oahu, and that will air on Sunday, January 14th. Let's get to a continuation of our conversation with Dr. Susan Jarvie and Dr. John Martell. Can all slugs or just the semi-slug transfer rat lungworm disease?
Oh, any gastropod, any mollusk can be an intermediate host of rat lungworm disease. And then there's a whole slew of peritonic hosts that the larva can infect, and they don't develop in those hosts, like flatworms or freshwater prawns, or probably even frogs and lizards have been shown to be able to carry this parasite, the infectious stage of this parasite. And so people can get infected that way as well. And, you know, it's really not the big African snails or the huge slugs that concerns me about how people are getting infected. It's the little stuff, the little decomposed bits that you don't even recognize. For example, these flatworms, they basically dissolve when you touch them. They just fall apart. And you would never even see that in a salad. The case on Maui that I believe is the case that demonstrates that someone has gotten infected at a restaurant and then developed rat lungworm disease, she thought she was eating a mushroom, and then it was just too chewy, and it was a piece of a slug.
Okay, tell us what the semi-slug looks like.
The semi-slug is exactly that. It's evolutionarily, it's between a slug and a snail. Technically, all slugs are snails, but this one has a residual shell on its back about the size of your baby pinky nail. And it tends to be grayish, has antennae. It's a very fast slug. You think about slugs being slow as a slug, but this one is not. It's very, very fast.
I had some bok choy, and a little teeny white slug crawled out of it. And, I mean, it was small. It was as small as the tip of my little fingernail. He was that color as well. So was that probably a semi-slug I was seeing?
It very well could have been. We've tested slug eggs, and we've tested just a handful of these baby semi-slugs. And so far, none of them have been positive. But it's just, you know, a handful. It's just a pilot study in terms of the real tests that should be done that we don't have the funding to do.
Can people look at the water that comes from their catchment tank and see the larvae if they're present?
Not without a microscope. We have done, in fact, the case of the person that died of a heart attack here in East Hawaii a couple of years ago. The family called us and we went out to look at their catchment tanks. And unfortunately, at the time, we weren't set up to do the PCR analysis on a single larva like we are now. So we took water samples from their catchment, brought it back, and looked under the microscope, and there were larvae that, based on the behavior and what we could look at morphologically, that looked very much like Angiostrongylus.
Last time we spoke, you were looking into a vaccine developed really for a related disease, but you thought perhaps that could turn into a vaccine for rat lungworm. What's the status of that research?
We completed that study, and this was in collaboration with our collaborator, Dr. Antonio Osuna from Granada, Spain, who developed this vaccine and has it patented in, I think, 17 countries, something like that. But anyway, we tried it in wild rats here in Hawaii, and unfortunately in the group, you know, we did the vaccinated group and about 20 unvaccinated, we had about the same amount of worms, adult worms, that we pulled out of the heart and lungs of both groups. So the vaccine does not appear, at least under the conditions we tried it with a single adjuvant and a single dose, does not appear to be effective in providing protective immunity for the rats. It doesn't mean that we could not do it under different conditions. Again, you know, each one of these experiments for a vaccine study like that is about $100,000. And so we have not tried it again.
State Department of Health was awarded $1 million by the state legislature. None of that money is coming here for research. And you have mentioned that funding is sort of limiting your ability. What's happening with your ability to do research? What kind of funding do you need? And are you getting any funding from the state or the State Department of Health in any form? Because clearly, particularly those of us who live on Hawaii Island are really concerned that good research continue to go on.
Yeah, I am all for good research, especially on this island, whereas we are the epicenter for this disease in the country. None of the funding from the state has been allocated to the Hawaii Island that I'm aware of, including to my lab. The bill that was introduced by Senator Kahele was supported unanimously throughout all the committees in the House and all the committees in the Senate. And then it went to Ways and Means and it was diverted to the Department of Health. I would think the Department of Health would be very interested in supporting our research and diagnostics. They're apparently not. I would think they would be interested in, from an educational standpoint, in all the educational materials we've produced over the years, you know, especially our second grade curriculum with the activity book. We're currently working with grades 5 through 8 in a number of schools. By the end of the year, she'll have a draft curriculum up online available for anybody who wants it. And so these educational materials are very, very well received by the teachers because they're in alignment with science standards for those grades. And the students love them. The kids love them. It's a STEM curriculum. It gives them hands-on. It's project-based. And it's something that's really important, especially to the kids of East Hawaii. And so I would think those would be top priorities if the state is interested in funding the diagnostic test that we're working with CDC on and different countries. It has a lot of potential, I think, based on what I've seen with the results from the Thailand antigen.
Are you getting any funding from the Centers for Disease Control since you are working with them on some research?
No, we're not getting any direct funding, but they're paying out of their budgets for the isolation of these antigens, and the deal is that they will provide us with half of what they produce. So we'll be able to go back and do our tests.
I'll be asking State Department of Health what they know about other research that's going on, but what do you know about other research that might be going on that is not based here at UH-Hilo College of Pharmacy?
The only thing I've heard is what they've mentioned in their press releases, that they're looking at doing a survey of at least slugs and snails, and I don't know if they're looking at rats. I think that's a real priority. We just completed a study in rats when we were collecting these 20 grams of worms from the hearts and lungs, the pulmonary arteries of these rats, working with USDA and the Department of Health Vector Control in East Hawaii. We collected 545 rats, something like that, that were trapped, that we processed through. And the numbers show 94% of those rats are infected. That is higher than any place else in the world that I have heard, 94%. So Vector Control, if they're willing to actually take this seriously, okay, we're a port town. Rats jump on and off of ships all the time. How long have we been exporting rat lungworm in these rats? You know, the parasite now is in the southeast. It's in Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma, Florida. So now there's 5 cases, human cases, that I've heard of originating on the mainland. One back in the mid-1990s of a boy that was infected in Louisiana. 3 in Houston, Texas, just a year ago, after a major flooding event, and then one more recently in Tennessee. So this parasite is spreading, and the fact that it's spreading throughout Florida and even in northern Florida, where the climate is very temperate, tells us that this parasite can survive in different climates. One of the things I'm really concerned about is Puerto Rico. which is only about 1,000 miles from Florida, right? Puerto Rico has the semi-slugs. They've recently gone through, as you know, horrible environmental issues and flooding. And so I'm concerned about how long it's going to take. It's not whether it's going to happen. It's how long it's going to take before the semi-slug is in Florida.
Last time we spoke, you talked about washing lettuce as being the solution. Anything new you know on that now?
Well, we know that the larvae live in water quite well for weeks and weeks. So washing, certainly, with potable water is much better than not washing. Certainly, no question about that. Check, clean, and cook, right? And so what I suspect from our pilot studies is that there are commercially available vegetable washes out there or other household readily available solutions that people could use to wash their vegetables in, which would actually have an effect on the larvae themselves.
So have you done studies with the different washes? Because the last time we talked, you told us that vinegar doesn't work, nor does hydrogen peroxide, and that you hadn't really done testing on other solutions. So tell us what to do to wash our lettuce if we're going to buy produce here and we want to eat it.
I wish I could. So what we were doing a couple of years ago was looking at different solutions and seeing how they affected the larvae. We were doing this by looking under the microscope and looking at them. Did they still wiggle or did they not? If they still wiggled, that solution had basically no effect on them. But if they stopped wiggling and it looked like they're dead, then we can say, well, they look like they're dead. But you cannot say that they are non-infective, truly dead non-infective. And so what we've been doing in the meantime is developing what we call a death assay. The death assay is based on differential staining. Some stains are taken up by cells that are both live or dead cells, and other stains are only taken up by cells that are dead. And so we've done the preliminary studies now to be able to show that this one certain stain, if we kill the larva, which we would kill in the freezer in methanol, and compare that with live larva, that this stain appears to be able to distinguish viability from dead and live larva. And so the true test is to put these larvae into rats. And so that's the latest thing we're working on, again, with USDA APHIS, is trying to get funding. And what I need is about $15,000 to pay the technicians at USDA APHIS and for supplies to be able to run this death assay out to completion to validate it actually in rats. And so that's what we're working on right now. Hawaii County Council has come forth, and we're trying to figure out the massive amount of paperwork to get money from Hawaii County Council contingency funds to be able to run this study. So we're hoping to be able to do that in December and January, where we'll take Angiocanthinensis larvae and kill them and have some live groups and some dead groups and do the differential staining techniques and then put them into rats and demonstrate that the assay is working. Once we have an assay that's validated, we can go back and do studies like the vegetable wash. We need it also for looking at drugs, the effects on larvae, as well as the catchment. Does UV light kill the larvae? We would need that assay for that as well. And getting back to the catchment, this fall, we're able to do this study due to the very generous donation of Dr. Richard Robbins and his wife and their family trust of $35,000 to answer the question, what filters are effective at blocking rat lungworm larvae from getting into a household or an agricultural water supply. And also we'll be looking at the effects of UV light as it would be set up in a catchment tank. Also, we've had continued support from Hawaii Catchment Company in Kaiao, who's provided us with a lab-sized catchment system to run the study.
So the question is, if I want to eat lettuce that was grown here on Hawaii Island, how do I wash it?
Very well. I don't have
but
an answer.
Just with water and leaf by leaf, as we talked before?
Leaf by leaf with potable water. Is that the answer? I want to give you no, because I know there's a better one. Some funding would be able to do that.
What is the ideal amount of funding you need to do what you need to do for research?
And I would clump research and education together, because I think our educational efforts are well worth pursuing. And so in the bill that Senator Kahele had introduced last year, we asked for about $800,000. It would probably be about the same, depending on what are the outcomes. Now, talking with physicians from Maui on collaborating with a serological study on Maui and Hawaii, and if other islands are interested. And so that would be several hundred thousand dollars. A catchment study, the way I'd really like to do it in looking at catchment design and a lot of other potential treatments for catchment water that are rational and logical for this environment, it would be more along the lines of 500,000. A vegetable wash study, if that's just that, could get by with a half-time technician and a year of supply funding, maybe $60,000, $75,000, something like that. But the diagnostic study to really do it right would be several hundred thousand dollars.
Dr. Martel, what have we not talked about that is important to share with our listeners?
I think the important thing to keep in mind is not only is this problem not going away, it's actually spreading. And the thing that we've seen in the last year is this disease, which originally was focused around Lower Puna, has now spread on this island so that we're seeing cases from Upper Puna, from Mountain View, from Kayao, and up the Hamakua coast now to Papaiko and Nanole. We know it's in West Hawaii, and I think the big news of the year is it's now in eastern Maui, in the Hana area. So we aren't winning this battle right now.
Well, it's on Oahu now, too. It'll be interesting to see what the response is now that it's hit the big city, so to speak. Dr. Martel, thank you so much for your time. Is there anything you want to add?
No. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Jarvie, anything you'd like to add?
Well, I would just like to add the cases on Maui where an outbreak occurred this past year, right? And it was actually one of the people in our lab, Kay Howe, that had the foresight to say, an outbreak on Maui, I wonder if the semi-slug is there, because nobody has been looking. Nobody has been looking. And so she sent out a Facebook picture of a semi-slug. The next day she got back, oh, they look like this, and it's like, that's a semi-slug on Maui. So I think it's really important. It has not been addressed in the past, the control of this slug, this semi-slug. We know on Kauai so far it's not there, and the case numbers have been low, and we recently did a slug and snail survey there, and the infection rates are quite low in Kauai still. So I think it's really important to keep the semi-slug off of Kauai.
Is regular slug bait the best way to keep slugs away?
That's pretty much what we have, so I would say yes. You can also hand pick, not with your bare hands, of course, but using gloves, and we recommend putting them in salt water to drown the slug and to keep the and to kill the larva. So about a 10 to 15% salt solution. We call it a slug jug. And so this is what we recommend to all of our keiki out there and their families, to keep a slug jug around the house and put slugs, instead of stepping on them out in the garden or pouring salt out, because the salt will kill any vegetation. It's putting them in a salt solution. And when it gets really, really awful, you can throw some bleach in there. But just remember to dump it in an area where you don't want to grow anything, because that salt will kill vegetation.
Does that mean that if we wash our lettuce with salt water, that's a good thing?
I can't say anything on that, because salt water is not a commercially approved vegetable wash. I know some people do it, but I really don't know.
Dr. Susan Jarvie, thank you so much for your time. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you.
And a brief interruption to remind you, this is Island Issues, and I'm Sherry Bracken, and we're here every Sunday morning on the radio on Hawaii Island at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. And you may hear this and other previous Island Issues about rat lungworm and many other topics at our podcast, lava1053.com, or koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. Today, we've just completed our most current update with Dr. John Martel of Hilo Medical Center and Dr. Susan Jarvie of UH Hilo College of Pharmacy. We're about to talk with Keith Kawaoka of State Department of Health in an interview I recorded on November 17th with him and with members of the Rat Lungworm Task Force from John A. Burns School of Medicine. That interview with the members of the task force will air January 14th. But next Sunday, we're going to have an update on Mauna Loa, because scientists at Hawaiian Volcano Observatory will be doing three community updates about Mauna Loa in communities that may be impacted by a potential future Mauna Loa eruption. So it's really important that we get an update on Mauna Loa. I'll see you next Sunday morning for that. But now let's get to Keith Kawaoka of State Department of Health. So here for us this morning from Department of Health is Keith Kawaoka. He's the Deputy Director of Environmental Health. Good morning, Mr. Kawaoka.
Good morning, Sherry. Thanks for the opportunity.
I'd like to start with you, Keith Kawaoka, with questions about funding. Department of Health was granted $1 million by the state legislature. Help us understand how that money is being spent, because, of course, rat lungworm disease is of critical concern to those of us on Hawaii Island and actually folks all over the state.
That's correct. The 2017 legislature authorized the department $1 million spread over 2 years, so $500,000 per year. And if I can characterize the authorization, it's basically to be directed toward the response activities regarding rat lungworm disease. And when I say that, it means in terms of both control as well as prevention type activities. And also, let me characterize that it's not just a department that's involved with this. It's truly a collaborative effort, not just with the task force, but within the state, we have collaboration from other departments as well as county-level organizations. So the way that the initial allocations has been developed, and it could change as we go, but right now, about 300,000, and I'll just discuss the first year for now. 300,000 is being directed toward public outreach, communication, education type activities. And another 200,000 is being directed toward epidemiological as well as vector control activities.
When you say epidemiological and vector control activities, what do you mean by that?
Well, right now, for example, in the epidemiological side, we're actually right now developing a feasibility pilot survey regarding the rat lung disease in terms of potential reservoirs and vectors that might be to better direct the response efforts for both vector control and our disease investigation side. So right now we're working with a number of different agencies, including our own State Department of Agriculture, our Department of Land and Natural Resources, the Invasive Species Council, as well as the University of Hawaii Manoa researchers, to actually look at what potential areas, for example, that we could find both in snails and slugs, as well as for rodents, where the disease has been identified in different parts of a geographic area, and where those kinds of rodents and snails and vectors may harbor. So right now the design basically is to look at both in terms of a seasonal difference as well as a geographic difference, this feasibility pilot study. So for example, I'll go through sort of the rodent, mm-hmm. and the rats or rodents will be identified in a certain geographic area. We will trap the rodents in that area based on what incidents that we might have found the rat lung disease, and areas that we know that it's pretty unlikelihood that there may be rats, and sort of control those two areas. The rats will be collected by our vector control team. They will be turned over to the Department of Agriculture for further processing to take out the tissues and other organs in the rats. And then they will be sent over to the Centers for Disease Control for analysis and identification. On the snails and slug standpoint, it's sort of similar, but our UH Manoa, the malacologist, will actually be doing that part of the pilot feasibility investigation. So they will collect snails and slugs in the same areas and identify through their processing in the laboratory, identify if there are existence of the androstrangulitis disease. So it's a two-pronged area, both in terms of a seasonal differentiation as well as a geographic differentiation. So we hope to have the other part in the following year to do the so-called dry season of.
Given that Hawaii Island has had more cases than any place else in the state, I believe more than 60 so far since you started keeping records back in 2007, how much of this work, how much of this $200,000 work on the vector control is going to be done on Hawaii Island, on the east side of the island?
Right now, as I recall, the study design, the evaluation design is going to be done on Oahu, mainly from a logistical standpoint. We want to see the information that's gathered from that. If the evaluation pilot study deems to be a viable source of information, then we'll certainly carry it out to other islands, certainly for the Big Island.
No disrespect intended, Mr. Kawaoka, but since you know rat lungworm exists a lot on Hawaii Island, and you've only had, to my knowledge, according to what I believe Anna told me, one case on Oahu that you've identified, why wouldn't you do it in a place that you already know has a lot of rat lungworm to better identify the source and the spread?
You raise a good point, and I think because of the organizations involved, they wanted to make sure that that design is going to be applicable. But again, it's relatively early in the design, so we can certainly take that back to the evaluation team and further look at that potential.
Well, I know that I am not the first one to tell you that rat lungworm exists on Hawaii Island. So I really am trying to understand, why would you do it in a place where you don't even know you have rat lungworm, other than one identified case on Oahu?
At this point, we got to get back to the study team to find that response.
Okay.
So we'll take that note.
Okay. And a brief interjection. I need to make a correction. I said in my conversation with Mr. Kawaoka that Oahu had had one case of rat lungworm disease. In fact, they have had two. They had one in 2017, and they had one in 2007. Hawaii Island has had at least 61, confirmed by State Department of Health, but Dr. John Martell and the Rat Lungworm Task Force members, from whom we'll hear on January 14th, say the spinal tap is not really as definitive a test as everybody'd hoped, that there are undoubtedly more cases. Secondly, we recorded the conversation with Mr. Kawaoka on November 17th. I informed State Department of Health that we would air a news story on Hawaii Public Radio using segments of his conversation on December 26th, and we would air this interview today. Anna Kothi from State Department of Health contacted me just before Christmas to say they are going back to the drawing board. They now realize that any study must include neighbor islands. I don't know if the fact that Dr. Susan Jarvie's study of 545 rats that showed that 94% of them in East Hawaii had rat lungworm influenced them as well. Let's get back to our conversation with Keith Kawaoka. What kind of research is going on relative to the cause, treatment, and prevention? What kind of things is Department of Health funding relative to that? Or is this $500,000 the only thing you can point to at this point?
The other part of the vector epidemiological side is, as you well know, on the mosquito-borne disease side, as you know, we've been dealing with the dengue outbreak and also looking at potential Zika. So that part, you know, we've gained several positions through two sessions of the legislature to add to our vector control capability. So right now we actually are developing the overall strategy, not just for rat lung, but also for mosquito-borne diseases and other diseases to deal with from a vector control standpoint.
Okay, so no more research into specifically rat lungworm disease, is that correct?
That's correct from the Department of Health standpoint.
You mentioned the $300,000 is outreach and education. I know that UH Hilo College of Pharmacy and Hilo Medical Center have put together fact sheets about rat lungworm, information for emergency room doctors, and also educational materials for children being used in schools on the Big Island right now. It's sort of a coloring book, cartoon kind of thing that I know from talking with teachers they think is terrific because it meets their science standards and it also lets the kids take the information home to their parents. Are you helping fund that particular effort to get the word out?
No, we're not, but the department as well as the other agencies are developing various types of media outreach, community engagement, putting out written and media type information out there to inform the public. I think that you can never have enough of that information out there, so long as it's accurate and addressed to the specific audiences that may be affected.
So what exact kind of education is coming out and when?
We'll provide you with a real specific detail, but overall, in terms of the media side, we've engaged with the Hawaii Association of Broadcasters to put out various radio and television spot information to just build an awareness to the public of what rat lung disease is all about and how to prevent it. We've also engaged with about 40 radio stations and television stations to air, which is coming out fairly soon. I believe the Department of Agriculture has already put out those kinds of media spots as well. We're also looking at potentially putting out in the movie theaters. You know, when you go to a movie, you'll probably be seeing some rat lung information, as well as, forgive the pun, but, you know, snail mails, putting ads out in various announcements from the mail and the printed media. And then we've also engaged the community as well, putting out educational materials through the College of Tropical Agriculture and Human Resources, CTAR, and JAPSM. Develop a series of public education information for the people to use to learn more about the disease, how to prevent it. And then this includes things like sort of a skinny rat, we call it the rat card, or door hangers that people can kind of at a glance kind of get information on what this thing is all about. And then we've had a series of community meetings and presentations on all the islands, really. And the latest one has been on Oahu because we had identified that case in Oahu. So the team has gone out basically from DOH, agriculture, CTAR, and the JAPSM folks to educate the community, both from the agricultural side as well as the community at large. And in the future, we want to target more specific outreach like the schools. And we have been working with the schools' gardens program to further that outreach as well as social media campaigns to better engage the community in that regard. We're also looking at establishing, and we did this with the dengue outbreak, further collaborating with the visitor industry in putting out up-to-date information of what visitors should be aware and be cautious about. And then I think down the line, we're also doing additional market research to further target the information and where we can better, more effectively channel those kinds of resources in terms of the public outreach.
I'm curious why you're not taking advantage of already existing materials that have been developed in the one island that has the most rat lungworm, the things that I mentioned from UH Hilo College of Pharmacy and Hilo Medical Center. It seems like you're missing an opportunity to just expand on something that's been proven to work pretty well.
You know, we're looking at those materials and see if we can integrate that information with what we're also doing, too. I mean, it's no sense reinventing the wheel, I agree. But, you know, we just want to make sure that that information is effective to the public overall as a whole, as well as being accurate and concise to any particular target audience.
Time frame on the education materials?
We already started. A lot of the information that we're doing is the outreach in terms of, you know, meetings and media as well. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that information is already out in the public, and we're looking at revising them or, you know, doing more of that kinds of media, the ones I just kind of explained.
Okay. Now, UH Hilo is, to my knowledge, the only institution in the state with a research program dedicated to this disease. Are you going to be providing funding to support and increase the research that already is going on at UH Hilo?
At this point in time, we are not providing any funding to UH Hilo.
Do you have information, and maybe this is something that needs to be saved for the members of the task force who went to a recent tropical medicine conference, but do you, Department of Health, have information now more on how it's caught? Any more research being done in catchment water studies?
You know, it's probably addressed that in the task force area, but, you know, we've also looked at that during the dengue outbreak. As you probably know, the Department of Health does not regulate water catchment systems, but that could be a potential source of both vector for mosquito-borne illnesses as well as rat lung. So I think we would look at that as well as addressing that kind of information to the public as well. But overall, the intent of the legislature is to be geared toward response activities and not do any further research at this point from the allocation standpoint.
Okay, so Department of Health itself is not doing any or funding any additional research, right?
That's correct.
Okay. You've mentioned dengue several times. I believe you are not suggesting there's a relationship between dengue and rat lungworm, or are you suggesting that?
No, you know, the relations is certainly they're different diseases, obviously, but in areas like water catchment, in terms of educating the public, and in my particular area, vector control is certainly out there in the community. So the education component, the outreach component, both from our vector control as well as the disease investigation folks. That certainly is the common areas that we can provide that information and outreach to.
Right now, I understand the Department of Health has no requirement for restaurants to provide food safety classes for their workers. And obviously, this is a concern not just for rat lungworm, but for things like salmonella and E. coli. I spoke recently with Peter Oshiro with Department of Health Sanitation, and he says the state is going to require restaurants to provide food safety classes for their workers starting next September 2018. And I'm wondering why the delay in food safety training, given that it appears that rat lungworm can be, well, is transmitted by eating lettuce or other leafy greens that has not been washed thoroughly. So why the delay in getting that going?
It's really not a delay. I mean, we've had those instruction and information to the food service side educational program going on for quite a while. You know, I did talk to Peter about that specific aspect about are there any more stringent, I guess, requirements regarding rat lung. But as far as dealing with the, you know, proper sanitation, washing of vegetables or leafy vegetables, he indicated that it's no more stringent than what they've already been instructing the food service workers of, in the past.
Of course, they don't require any training until September of 2018 upcoming.
No, like I said, you know, they've had that kind of basic training and certifications to the food service workers for many years. And in addition to that, any regular inspections that the sanitation inspectors go out to food establishments, they will also do that kinds of instruction or education. And we've always encouraged a food service establishment like a restaurant or market that if they do encounter any type of a snail, for example, to notify us. We will follow up on that inquiry. And if necessary, we may go out along with Department of Agriculture to look at the distribution point or even out to the farms itself and provide that kind of a consultation.
Okay. And with that, we're taking a break from our conversation with Keith Kawaoka of State Department of Health. We'll get an update from the members of the Rat Lungworm Task Force on January 14th. Next Sunday morning, please join me for an update on Mauna Loa Volcano. This is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. Until next Sunday, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahoi ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us, info@lava1053.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.